This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for streaming WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
Early December outlook calls for average temperatures and precipitation, but Ford says forecast models are leaning heavily on the La Nina effect to increase odds for warmer and wetter weather through February. If your family is headed out this week to pick out a Christmas tree, you might want to consider a few of these tips. One thing people often forget to do is measure the space where they want to put the tree, and it ends up being too big. Bringing a tape measure when you head out to the tree lot or farm to make sure it will fit is recommended. As far as the type of tree, well, that's a personal choice. You need to keep that water filled at all times. No special additives like sugar or aspirin are needed. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
There's a lot we still don't know about the Omicron COVID variant. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Prepare for the worst.
But Biden COVID advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci tells ABC's This Week,
it may turn out that this preparation, although important, may not necessarily push us to the next level.
The U.S. is joining many other countries taking precautions. Fox's Evan Brown has more live.
Yeah, Dave, the Biden administration today is stopping air travel to and from seven nations in southern Africa, including the nation South Africa. This woman is stuck at the airport in Johannesburg.
It does give me a bit of anxiety, but as long as I do the best I can to stay safe, I mean, I can't control the person next to me, but as long as I do my best, then that's the most I can do, I think.
Now, Canadian officials say they've already found Omicron cases in their country. None are detected yet in the U.S., but it is likely already here, Dave.
Evan, they'll seat a jury and plan to start opening arguments against Ghislaine Maxwell's trial in New York City. She's the late Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, accused of helping him find minor girls to sexually abuse. He committed suicide in jail in 2019, awaiting trial. They'll start to pick a jury in Chicago for actor Jussie Smollett's trial, accused of disorderly conduct and lying to police.
In 2019, Smollett told police he was attacked by two men who shouted racial and homophobic slurs at him. They allegedly tied a rope around his neck and poured a liquid on him. However, it turns out that the two men were his co-workers on Empire, and they came forward and alleged that Smollett paid them to stage the entire attack as a publicity stunt.
Fox's Michelle Polino. Matthew McConaughey is not saying all right to a run for governor in Texas.
It never occurred to me that I would one day be considered for political leadership.
Posting that on Twitter last night, saying he's not running. Earlier this year, the actor had said he was considering it. In a recent poll, had McConaughey in the lead as a hypothetical candidate. America's listening to Fox News.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Congress returns this week with a lot to do. There's a Friday deadline for a new budget agreement to avert a government shutdown, and there's a mid-December deadline to raise the debt limit. As Senate Democrats keep working on the almost $2 trillion social spending bill the House passed, but moderate Democrats might alter, which Republicans hope since they cannot block passage.
Minnesota Democrat Amy Klobuchar says she's confident a deal can happen, with moderate Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia still engaged.
Talking to us about voting rights, getting that bill done, restoring the Senate. He is talking to us about this bill.
Louisiana Republican Bill Cassidy says he has issues with the debt limit, which he says has been a bipartisan process.
Both about the spending, bipartisan, both about the debt limit. If you haven't noticed, Republicans have not been invited in at all to discuss this.
Both senators on ABC's This Week, Democrats have targeted Christmas as when they want this bill passed. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
The Supreme Court will take up a case this week that pro-choice advocates fear put abortion rights at risk. It involves Mississippi's law banning abortions after 15 weeks. Republican Governor Tate Reeves.
I believe in a simple reading of the United States Constitution that when Roe was decided in 1973, there is no fundamental right in our United States Constitution to an abortion.
He was on NBC's Meet the Press. The case will be heard on Wednesday. On Wall Street, stock futures are rising after Friday's big sell-off. On Sunday night football, the Baltimore Ravens beat the Cleveland Browns 16-10 after the Patriots kept rolling.
Bourne redirects to the outside, still going.
He scored twice, helping New England to win a sixth straight game, beating Tennessee 36-13 on CBS. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stopped Indianapolis 38-31. The Green Bay Packers beat the LA Rams 36-28. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Hi, this is Matt Beck. Safety and security have become more important for our local businesses. Decatur-based Bechtech has options and solutions to help your business, no matter how large or small. From churches, corporate offices, schools, all local businesses, Bechtech understands the need for safety and security. When people, property, and workers are safe, focus can remain on missions, purposes, and objectives. Call Bechtech at 217-428-7000 to schedule your needs analysis with one of our professionals. Bechtech, a bar.
Good morning. Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today's going to be partly sunny with a high of 46, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 33. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 48, and Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 56. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 28 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday, November 29th edition of Byers & Company. If Don't Let Me Down or Get Back Loretta isn't like stuck in your head after this weekend, there's something wrong with you. The Monday Morning Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Monday morning after the 4 days off. We hardly ever go this long without speaking to you.
Yeah, it's weird. It's way different.
I mean, we just don't. And so we were last here Wednesday of last week, and we had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, back here on a Monday. And certainly thrilled to be back with you. I hope everyone had a glorious
Thanksgiving weekend, and we're able to spend time with family and friends and all of that. We have a whole bunch to get to here today. Starting off with, don't you like a nice pen? I don't know if you opened this or not.
I have not.
Kevin Brahaney came bearing gifts this morning.
It's that time of year. Merry Christmas.
All right, you're going to have to get closer to that microphone,
Merry
please.
Merry Christmas.
Or pull it closer to you. Yes, I love a good pen.
So do I. I've got a nice one that I got from the FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America, that I've been using, but this one might be my daily driver now.
You know, my father always taught me, and my father was in sales. He owned a furniture store. Son, if you're ever going to give out a pen, make sure it's a good one. And I can't always say I lived by that rule, but this Christmas I am.
Yeah, it's nice. Very nice.
It's a cross. You don't see cross pens very often.
It was a big deal for a long time.
I bet I got four of them when I graduated from college. Lost gifts. Every one of them.
Yes.
Wooden ones, silver ones, gold ones.
All right. I love a little haft. I love a little a bulk. It's got all that.
Well, Merry Christmas. You know, I tried to deliver Christmas gifts on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, to get a jump on it. I drove over to Champaign. All morning Friday, everywhere I went, everybody was closed. Nobody worked on Friday.
Nobody worked on Thanksgiving either. There were a number of things that you would think would normally be open that were not open.
Walmart was closed.
Worked okay. It was okay. It worked out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God Kroger was open. I needed Kroger on Thanksgiving morning.
For what?
Something soon needed. It was something like kind of important for the Thanksgiving meal. I can't even remember what it was. Could have been cranberries or something.
Okay.
I remember. Well, I know it was important, and I drove all over, and I go, uh-oh. Oh, what was it? You know what it was?
Okay.
It was dark Cairo syrup. That's baking syrup.
Okay.
And I went to Walgreens and found a dark syrup, but it wasn't Cairo.
Okay.
So I was worried. Walmart was closed. I went to two convenience stores like Casey's and Thornton's. No Cairo syrup. And my last ditch effort is I came back around. Aldi's was closed, but there was Kroger. Man, was it packed.
All right. Well, good morning and welcome back after the holiday, almost to December, which is impossible to believe, but here we are. All right. So we've got a lot to get to here today. We'll preview what's happening tonight with the Soy City Buzz. But 8 hours of the Beatles. I don't know how Peter Jackson, the famed and renowned director of, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, among so many others. There's all kinds of great history about how he got access to the Apple, not that Apple, but the other Apple, company that the Beatles started in 1968, to all of this film. This was going to be a theatrical release. Do you remember last year we talked about this, Nick? And there was a preview, a little bit of like a couple, 2-3 minute preview on Disney Plus, about him putting this together to be a theatrical release. And let's say it was 3 hours in the movie theaters or whatever it might be. I don't know how he does that after watching the 8 hours that was Get Back, the Beatles, 8 hours released Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I watched it Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. I got up first thing Friday morning and watched it. I got up first thing Saturday morning and watched it. And consumed 8 hours of this.
Of 50-some-odd hours that he had to work with.
60, almost 60 hours of video that he had and 100 and whatever hours of audio.
You know how he got access? Is he was over in London. He wanted to talk to people at Apple about some totally different
project. They actually had requested him that there was maybe some sort of museum interactive piece or something that they wanted to talk to him about. Yes.
But in the back of his mind, he always wondered about where's the rest of the tapes of Michael Lindsay Hogg's Let It Be movie. And
which, by the way, that movie is not available in any way whatsoever and has not been since the 1980s.
Is it because it's discredited?
No, there's no DVD. There's no Blu-ray. It was just one of those things. The album wasn't critically acclaimed. The movie was considered to be negative, you know, meaning it focused on sort of the breakup or the reasons for the breakup and the tensions and the negativity, you know, at the end with the Beatles, when clearly when you see the 8-hour version, there was a whole different thing than that. But anyway, yes, you're right. That the guy, it was just sitting in a vault.
Yeah, he was there on that other matter, and he asked about whatever happened to those tapes. I said, oh, well, we have them downstairs in a vault. And he saw them all, and they said, we've been thinking about trying to do something with them. And he said, well, would you consider me? And that's how it all began. Didn't he vindicate them, the Beatles? I thought, you know, although I thought Michael Lindsay Hoggs did a great job of videotaping and being subversive about how he got all this information when they didn't even know they were being filmed or recorded at times. But he didn't do a very good job of making a movie. But Peter Jackson made these guys look like
okay, well, hang on a second. First of all, I don't know that anybody makes anybody look one way or another when you do 8 hours. I mean, it pretty much is what it is.
But that wasn't the case with Michael Hoggs.
I don't know that I've ever even seen Let It Be. And I doubt that the vast majority of the American audience or global audience has actually even seen that movie.
But it was portrayed after that the album was the breakup album, and they didn't get along. They didn't like each other. All they did was argue. They were mad about the studio. They were mad about everything. They were mad at Paul for making them do it. They made it sound like Paul was a big jerk and nobody liked each other, and that wasn't the case.
Okay, Nick, did you watch any of this, all of this, part of this?
I think about 5.5 hours.
Okay, so you're kind of a loser when it comes mm-hmm. to being a Beatles fan today.
I tell you what, for the other rest of the hours, I hear JoJo in my head nonstop. I can't get it out. I was dreaming about it this morning.
The earworms, yes.
Oh, my goodness. It just burrowed in there and stayed with me all weekend.
Well, after you hear it performed 37 times.
Yeah, yes. Isn't that amazing? To think that they do that so many times to get we always hear the end results. But to watch it being made is quite remarkable.
Yeah, for me, there's a few things that I took away from it because I've never deep dived on them at all. First, the film looked amazing, a little blurry, but that's hiding the artifacts. That's why it was kind of fake blur, but it looked unreal.
To see them at that age, mm-hmm. right,
yeah.
in almost like what we would think of as like high definition mm-hmm. today, not quite, but for the time, certainly to be able to remaster the film to look that way was amazing.
It sure was. And Jen said to me, you know, I've never seen Paul McCartney not look like that. He's always gray, you know, so this is new for for young. Well, I mean,
I know that's an old guy moan for Jen. Right. All I'm doing is like, oh, Jen.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, so that was interesting. It was really neat to see them stumble upon things. Like there was an argument going on and Paul's working out Let It Be in the background. You know, it was like one of the greatest moments of music history is happening despite whatever madness is happening in the room. I thought that was kind of neat. I also thought it was an interesting way that it's being put together. 8 hours seemingly is overkill, but it was like it was just filled with nuance chained to other nuance. I mean, you could tighten it down and get a 3-hour movie and tell the same story, but we just kind of saw it unfold.
I'm not sure that 8 hours was the way to go. It's a lot. I mean, you know, for your average fan or not even a fan, 8 hours is a long time.
But you could watch one or two or three. I mean, it was broken into 2-hour segments almost.
No, it was 8 hours and there were three of them. So it
was. Right, 2.5-hour segments.
Yeah. So that's a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you go to see a movie that's 2.5 hours long, you consider that to be a fairly lengthy movie. I mean, you know, the James Bond film was, you know, 2 hours and 50 minutes. And you go, that's a long
right.
film.
I couldn't get enough of it.
Three parts of it, you know, you feel like is really for the Beatles fans. I mean, that's not for the general public.
Yeah.
I agree. Decision that's made that's not like, all right, we're going to give this gift to the world. Well, a lot of the world's going to go, no, I'm not going to do 8 hours. But for Beatles fans, you know, they're going to be all in. And it did blow a lot of the myths off or through the doors of what we thought about the time or what the media told you about the time
exactly.
or what the movie Let It Be told you about the time, that there certainly was disruption and tension and hard feelings. I mean, George Harrison left and quit the band in the middle of this and was gone for several days, and they had to do a lot of damage control to get him back. It does, in one thing, I believe, kind of throw the myth away about Yoko Ono being a huge disruption to the process. She was there, and it was weird. You know, I mean, she was by John Lennon's side, you know, that entire time. But it wasn't a disruptive presence.
No, as Paul described it, they're madly in love with each other. They were kind of coming off their honeymoon. He wanted her there.
And they were like headlong into heroin addiction at that time. There was a lot of stuff going on.
And Linda was there too.
So, and Linda's daughter, and, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of spouses and kids and things, you know, in and around, because they were getting towards the end of their career and having families and whatever. But it was, I thought the clothes, some of the fashion choices, right? I did some Google research about the cops that broke up the rooftop concert because, you know, they're on film forever. That guy who was kind of the hard ass is like 77 years old today. You know, as you're
with
watching
the red cheeks,
the one that was a little bit more senior, you know, that was there.
Oh, the sergeant.
No. The two of them showed up, but the one that was more vocal, who was in charge. You know, a lot of those guys didn't like the Hare Krishna sort of phase of the Beatles, and when they started to change and do different things, and there was some resentment there. But that guy is forever, those two guys, and then the sergeant who showed up later because of the hidden cameras in the lobby. You know, they became famous whether they wanted to be or not.
He was like 20 years old at the time. He had red cheeks. He looked like a kid.
Bobbies, they called him.
Bobbies.
Yeah.
And I never did understand those straps around their chins.
And they sit and chew on.
They chew on them. Yeah,
because I don't think they understood it either.
I know.
It was more form over function. And the idea that all 42 minutes of that rooftop concert is now available, and they sounded so good. I mean, that is the thing.
They were happy, too. They were happy in that concert. They were having a ball. And that was the whole point of the making the movie, was getting back to the roots, getting back to rock and roll, doing away with all the overdubbing, and just playing like a rock and roll band. And they actually got to do it finally at the end.
And they talked about going to Libya and doing some amphitheater concert. And there was all kinds of conversations about how all this would end, and the nerves. And that was the human side of being able to see what many consider to be the greatest group of all time. You know, the idea that they were nervous about playing live again. It had been 3 years since they had performed together as a band live. And they got to do that for 42 minutes. Those cops are now infamous, I mean, forever, being the people who broke up the last time the Beatles ever played. And that Savile Row concert there at their headquarters, where they had their business on that rooftop. There's a scene where Paul McCartney was sort of jumping up and down on the boards, which were incredibly, I mean, nothing seemed even safe about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to all that.
That's the payoff.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Whatever happened to Ringo's movie that they were in such a hurt? I mean,
they made it.
Okay, well, is that a part of this documentary?
No.
Because they were like, we have a week or two before Ringo, and then the timeline just kept getting pushed.
They had a time period between when Ringo had to go start filming the movie with Peter Sellers, who makes a very awkward appearance in the documentary, yeah. And then can't wait to get out of there. I don't know what he thought he was getting into, but he was really uncomfortable and like basically sat down and said, hey, boys, and then went like, I'm out of here. Very awkward. And there was a timeline on the calendar they had that he had to be available to go film this movie. And so there was a window to create this album. Mm-hmm. And that was kept, you know, the overall window. But they kept pushing back and pushing back and pushing back. Oh. And as they were Xing out the days on the calendar, which I thought was a very effective documentary style way of doing it, like you felt the pressure with them as they just crossed those days off. They finally got it done. But the whole idea was they were going to do some big live mm-hmm. performance and record the album as a live album. I mean, that was the intent.
George made two conditions to come back in the group. One was to get out of that big studio building that they were going to make the movie. He hated that. It's too cold, and it was not conducive for what they do. And two was no TV show at the end. He did not want to do that TV show, and they couldn't figure out how to do it anyway. And that's what got him back in. But didn't you think that they changed when they went to EMI for the second half of the album.
They went to, they went to Apple. Yeah,
that's Apple EMI.
Well, EMI was the company that, that was their record company. Apple was their business. They started in 1968, and it's still the business today that still runs all the affairs of anything Beatles related. I mean, it's still an empire all these years, what, 54 years later or whatever.
But didn't you think Billy Preston made a big difference?
Yeah, he absolutely did. All the stuff they needed filled in with that organ and electric piano. Yeah, it was really good. Although I can get a lot of that out of the documentary about him, other than he showed up and made a big difference in the recording. Let It Be, certainly, it wasn't even their last album. The crazy thing is everybody gets this out of order. It was the last time they performed together live on that rooftop concert. But Abbey Road came out after Let It Be, which some of the songs you were watching get formed in that documentary ended up on that album. And Let It Be wasn't, by critical acclaim, anywhere near their best.
No, I always thought Abbey Road was their best, which was ironic because it was their last. But there's another evidence for you, some more evidence for you that they got along. I mean, they were separating because their lives were changing. Like you said, they had wives and girlfriends and personal lives now, but they still were mates. They still cared about each other. But business was starting to creep into it, like the whole Alan Klein thing. And Paul got – they had a policy. Their policy was they all four had to agree on every change that they made. One disagreed. They didn't do it. And as it turned out the policy wasn't enacted when John wanted to switch business managers to Alan Klein. Paul was against it, and they overrode Paul.
Now,
and that was the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end was McCartney was way too bossy.
He was under the pressure of getting that done.
Okay. He was under the pressure. He was his all-in, all-mates, all-four votes. Paul McCartney, when you watch this 8 hours, was clearly the creative driving force. Lennon was in the middle of heroin addiction and Yoko and came with two songs. I mean, that was part of the problem. This 50-50 relationship that had existed up until that point was not there in this. I mean, Lennon was along for the ride for this whole Let It Be. And that's why I give McCartney the break, is that, like, somebody had to drive the bus. And,
well, Ringo said to him, when Epstein died, he was the guy that always got those guys. He was the disciplinarian of the group. He was the dad. And when he died, nobody was. And it was up to McCartney to get guys to show up. He would call them up. So you guys coming in, let's go. And then they always complained about Paul being the guy that kept calling them up and telling them to come in the studio. But then when they weren't getting anywhere, it'd be Ringo say, okay, Paul, be the producer.
Yeah,
they counted on him.
But that caused a lot of the frustration and the antagonism, in that is that he was the guy driving. He was the one talking to everybody like they were grade school musicians, and he was the teacher. And his musicality. I mean, look. You watch this, and I don't know every album or every song leading up to this point, but when you watch this, he clearly was the guy who was the creative force behind this entire thing. And when you watch Get Back to Where You Once Belonged sort of just come out, like, literally out of a conscious sort of place of just it gets spilled out the very first time when he's just falling into these songs, it's amazing.
I love seeing that process. It all starts out as mumbling and just little riffs, and then all of a sudden you see it get formed, and it's so cool on a creative side. But I felt a lot of tension and resentment. I didn't feel like they – I mean, there was a lot of resentment.
Well, you got to watch the whole thing. Overall, the whole thing was they were a lot happier than depicted in musical history at that point in their lives. There was a lot of fun. I mean, there was a lot of fun. There was a lot of the stuff they did in between to ease creative tension, you know, when they would perform other people's music just to sort of relax and do, you know, so they'd break into Bob Dylan or they'd break into Elvis Presley or they'd break into like some weird obscure thing. Lennon felt like the forced humor, like trying to keep things like I think maybe we looked at all of it wrong. I don't know. It's 8 hours of four guys' life. I mean, I think about it. That's a day.
Right.
Nick, there was a part in there where George quit and they're trying to figure out what to do. and Lennon and McCartney went and had lunch together.
I saw that part.
And they hit a microphone, and I guess they allowed it to play, but that was a pretty hard-hitting conversation when John says, well, you're leading the band now. He says, John, you've always led the band. You can lead the band, but we've got to get this made. And I thought they had a really good heart-to-heart conversation, like two friends or two brothers talking, trying to iron things out.
I got to tell you, Glenn Johns, who was in the film, we talk about guys that are major, major players in music, right? We talk about Jimmy Iovine and like what he was able to do. Glenn Johns, who was the record producer of that, he did the Rolling Stones, the Faces, the Who, the Steve Miller Band, the Eagles. If you look at his pedigree, it may be the most impressive in the history of music.
Oh, I've known his pedigree. When I saw him in the film, I was excited. It's funny because he said
Led Zeppelin. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
I mean, think about this. He only had a couple days to record because he's already booked in Los Angeles. It's like, it's the Beatles, you know?
Right. And he might have been at the time the only guy who could have been that way because, oh, what are you going to do? I'm going to work with Bob Dylan, or I'm going to work with Leon Russell, or I'm going to do the band, or whatever it might be. Boz Scaggs. I mean, that guy had a career that is unbelievable.
Yeah, very cool to see him work as well. I like them making fun of him as well, you know, at some points.
I mean, look, yes, they were giving him grief, but let's look in 1971. He did Who's Next with The Who. He did the Eagles' debut album and Exile on Main Street with the Rolling Stones.
Wow, what a year.
And he had to put all the equipment together, and they were getting impatient with him at the Apple Studios. Can we record? No, not until noon.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
And George Martin, who may be the smartest man, you know, who ever existed in the entire Beatles atmosphere. There's a point, Nick, that you'll get to when you get to part three, where they were getting ready for the rooftop concert. And they put three or four cameras on the roof. They put one on a roof opposite them, and they put three down on the street, and they hid one in the lobby. Because the filmmakers knew if the Beatles didn't, this was going to cause a stir. And they wanted to have sort of a street side, you know, anybody showing up to complain reaction. And everybody's going about their business and no one notices. George Martin walks in the lobby and immediately sees there's a hidden camera. And he doesn't say anything. He just looks into it and sort of smiles and walks on because he knew what was what.
That's awesome. That's real exciting. I look forward to seeing the rest of it. I think it was very informative. I really learned quite a bit. And see, I do understand the hype, but man, the Yoko Ono screaming. Yeah. And I know that has
Yoko jam session.
Yeah, that they titled and gave the credits and everything too.
Yeah.
Did you see when Paul McCartney's kids started doing it?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
First of all, it wasn't his kid. That was her kid.
It was her kid.
Yeah. But yes, that sort of those little moments seem to sort of knock down this thing that she was this huge intrusion that no one liked. I mean, they were having fun clearly. And I mean, I've never, you know, God rest, you know, she's still with us and understand she's under like 24-hour care because of her brittle, you know, health and all of that. I mean, I never understood Yoko Ono as an artist. I mean, I never got it. I never like clicked with it. I always just thought like, that's really strange to me. But John Lennon did, and they clearly were very much in love. And it was strange that she, you know, was literally there by his side, like every minute of every hour of
in the sound booth.
Everywhere.
You know,
yes.
That one, they did make a couple comments. One, I think Linda said something, and they go, "Okay, Yoko," you know, and you kind of understood that it was an understanding between all of them that she's sort of in there. So I do think it was a thing. I just don't know it to what level.
I think it was a thing, meaning that no one had done it before. But then once she did, then they all sort of started having a little bit of that because they were all around. I mean, Linda was there, you know, as a photographer and different spots. And then her daughter was there. You know, they had time to play around. The creative process of it is fantastic.
You know, they say the reason why the straw that broke the camel's back with George is that Yoko sat on his amplifier And Paul made the comment. He says, can you imagine?
No.
50 years from now?
George left because of Paul McCartney. I mean, Paul McCartney lecturing George on how to play the guitar was the camel. Literally. And you could see that tension. And the fact that George Harrison was spending time in California around Bob Dylan and other people starting to come out of his shell, as other people seeing him as a very creative genius guy, goes back to the Beatles where he's sort of relegated to being the guy, you just go play this and here's how you play it. That was the tension.
Yeah, I don't think he was crazy about her being there the whole time. He wasn't crazy about the whole atmosphere. Actually, George, in that first half, he was negative.
No,
everything.
Because
that,
you like Paul McCartney. He was negative because Paul McCartney was browbeating him.
I thought Paul McCartney broke up with the group, but he didn't. Yeah. I thought that
he caused George Harrison to leave. I mean, that honest conversation that you talked about with the microphone and the flower vase between John Lennon and Paul McCartney was John Lennon telling Paul McCartney, "Look, you got to stop this."
No doubt, Paul came on strong. It was his idea. George didn't want to do it from the get-go. There was definitely that tension. But George was in a negative mood until Billy Preston got there. And everything seemed to cheer up.
By the way, Glenn Johns went from The Who and Who's Next to the Eagles' debut to The Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones to Harvest with Neil Young to Eric Clapton. It's unbelievable when you look at that resume.
That's very impressive. You know, one name that you guys haven't said much of is Ringo. I enjoyed Ringo's.
He was fun, right?
I just thought he was very happy to be around.
If you look at the memes that are on social media, that is one of the trending things. Like, well, everyone's having this existential argument about the soul of the Beatles. Ringo's over here having fun with the camera and a cup of coffee and going to get with me when you want to play music kind of thing, right? Laid back fun.
Mm-hmm. He was first one there every morning. You know, he was the disciplined musician there of the four of them.
Yeah.
Another guy that wasn't in this, but he's remastered all the Let It Be box set now, and that's Nigel Martin, which is George Martin's son. Mm-hmm. And he describes the process as dismantling an old car, refurbishing it, and putting it back together.
It does
make a difference.
Well, he did the big Vegas show with his dad, with Cirque du Soleil, along with whatnot. Now, here's an interesting thing. One last thing, because we've spent way too long. I mean, I feel like 8 hours wasn't enough. We'll give you 3 more hours today.
It's good.
Couldn't wait to talk about it.
It is good. The Disney company wanted them to remove all of the swear words.
Not the smoking?
No. If you got rid of the smoking, that show would have been 18 minutes.
Cigarettes were a character in this show.
It was nonstop.
It's unbelievable. I mean, how they would stick them on the different things.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was cool.
Figure out like 19 ways to hold a cigarette while playing an instrument.
A guitar string.
Yes. you couldn't take out the smoking, but Disney wanted to take out the swear words. Now, they've got some weird thing about their... what it is that Disney means, and Marvel's had some things, it's all depends on what category it falls under. But I read a lengthy interview with Peter Jackson about how he went through the whole process with the surviving members, meaning Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and John Lennon's son, even Yoko, whose health is really bad, and to George Harrison's widow, who all got a chance to sort of see this. And they didn't offer any notes, meaning they didn't want anything changed in the documentary, the surviving existing people with a connection to it, except to do not cut out the swear. I mean, they wanted an honest representation of those four guys and what happened in that room. But they didn't. That's interesting when you look back, right, as very young people. And they were very young at that time. There was a moment, I don't know if you caught this, where like Elvis Presley had turned 32. And there was a throwaway phrase by John Lennon, happy birthday. And, he said something to the effect of, I feel like I'm catching up with him. Like, 32 felt old for them. So you get this representation of you, and I wonder what you would have been like, or myself, or Kevin, or anybody else at 28 years old, right? Nowhere near as formed as you are in your life now. And none of them wanted to change anything. or, hey, impressive. Take that thing out, or that made somebody look bad, or that made somebody look petty. But Disney going, you think you can take the swear words out?
Yeah, and they did put the disclaimer up front about the smoking, because that, I mean, they took it away from Cruella de Vil in every movie.
There was nothing but, I mean, you could have lit one cigarette to another cigarette through the 8 hours.
Probably
could. And never had a down moment where there wasn't smoking.
I don't understand why it was on Disney Plus to begin with. I would have expected Hulu or something like that. So Disney, the subscribers they must have gotten because of that is incredible. Huh? Because there are a lot of people that would not be having Disney Plus that are Beatle fans, but because of this documentary, they are now on Disney Plus.
I don't know. I part of me feels like we're a bunch of old guys talking about a very old thing.
I only have Disney Plus because of my granddaughters.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have had it otherwise.
Well, they have quite a bit. They've got I don't know if you've heard of Marvel, but you know they make $800 gazillion. Hawkeye made its debut this week. They've got Star Wars. I don't know if you've heard of that franchise, and a little thing called the National Geographic.
I've seen all the Star Wars in the movie theaters, and I'm not a Marvel fan, and I'm not, but I am a Disney fan to some degree, but mainly for my kids, you know, because of all the cartoon movies.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know, the Avengers, you know, the one piece of property right there out of the Marvel catalog will be seen by 800,000 times more people than this Beatles documentary.
Okay, I accept that. I just thought it was an odd place for the Beatles. You didn't.
Well, it's Peter Jackson. I mean, I don't think it's the Beatles. You know, most of them are dead or not doing anything. It's the director of the film who has the contract.
Well, you know,
and I mean, Disney
made a conscious decision.
But Disney is about as big of a place you're going to roll something out that there is.
Yeah, but you can't tell them not to use
swear
words.
Peter Jackson said no.
Right. And so they had to decide their principals or Peter Jackson.
Can you imagine those cops spent their entire life, those Bobbies, you know, as the guys who broke up the last live performance.
But they didn't.
By the Beatles. I mean... They did. They clearly shut down on the roof, you know, that last song. I mean, I don't know how long.
They didn't, because when that sergeant showed up, that sergeant saw the cameras and he told those two young cops, let's go. But the Beatles wanted everybody to think they broke it up for the excitement of it.
I read an account from this month from the Daily Mail where they went back and talked to that guy. And they told them on the roof, we have one more song, and, you know, and clearly after they wanted to shut them down. I mean, the problem is they look like the bad guys no matter what, because they were so irritated, and they're down there in the lobby looking like the biggest prudes in the history of prudes, because some business people had called. And even the interviews on the street were interesting, you know, like the reaction. You had the people who were like, oh, yeah, it's great. And then you had the people like, well, I don't know why they're doing this in the middle of the day.
Disrupting business.
Yes. Come
or
on.
That woman said they woke her up.
Which guy would you be?
Oh, I would say they're great. There are a lot of old people there.
I say that.
No, I would have.
We had a concert over, remember Block's Brewery? And they brought the Gin Blossoms in. Way before the Gin Blossoms played the Decatur Celebration. And we're not talking about the Beatles, we're talking the Gin Blossoms. I mean, let's be clear. No offense to the Gin Blossoms, but not the Beatles. And the property right west of the Decatur Club parking lot, where those apartments are.
The old folks' apartments.
No, I don't think they're old folks' apartments.
You can't get in those apartments unless you're old.
That's not true. We had one of those as a Brinkhouser Home highlight not all that long ago.
Well, it's changed because it used to be very protective.
They're condominiums.
Was it called like Montgomery Arms or something?
I don't remember what the name of it is. But anyway, there was a guy there that night that called the cops out 6 times for that concert.
The one young cop said he had 30 complaints and all that. But the majority of people they interviewed on the street, and many of them were older, all loved it. They all liked the Beatles, and they thought it was wonderful music. But there were a handful that said, rah, rah, rah. It was great. I thought it was neat that they had somebody on the street asking, you know, on the street reporter, as well as across the street. But that's the other thing, Brian. The original Let It Be movie, and all the clips you ever saw was one song, Get Back. And you thought that was the only song they got away with before they were shut down.
No, it was 42 minutes.
Yeah. They didn't have any more songs to play.
No, they played each of those songs several times. A couple of those live performances made the Let It Be album, which you can clearly hear. But it was good stuff.
I Got a Feeling was one of them.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's a great song.
And that was John's song.
Yes. He brought two. Yeah. To the 14.
That 909 one was an oldie but goodie. I'm not sure who wrote. They wrote that together in Paul's house back in 19 when they were just barely the Beatles.
All right. What did you do besides watching this weekend? Because we definitely need to move on. The mayor's going to be with us at the top of the hour. We've got 43 minutes without a break.
Oh, God. Did we really?
Yeah.
Are you going to get in trouble?
Yeah. I feel like I'm Sam Adonio over here.
That's an inside joke.
I watched a really good documentary that wasn't related to the Beatles over this weekend. Did you tell me about Lansky? Were you the one that told me about the Harvey Keitel movie about Meyer Lansky?
I told you about it. I haven't seen it, though.
Okay, somebody told me that they had watched. I watched that over the weekend. Hawkeye. The funniest thing I've ever seen in my life was Rogers, the musical inside of Hawkeye. Did you watch it?
Mm-mm.
You haven't watched Hawkeye?
No, I watched that National Geographic Toxic Zone about the anthrax after 9/11.
Ah, okay.
That's what took my time.
Right. Did you guys see any bad sports?
No. I didn't watch any sports at all.
No,
College football had a crazy day on Saturday. Michigan beat Ohio State. I mean, I was aware of, on a peripheral way, of some of the stuff that was going on in sports.
That's a new documentary on Hulu.
What?
Bad sports. It's about...
Oh, bad sports. I thought you were talking about, like, just sports in general.
No, actually, some good football games. But that documentary is pretty interesting about Arizona State University when they did the point shaving and all that with... the two basketball players that worked with the bookies from Chicago. It was amazing how that all played out. They did the whole thing on that.
All right. Well, to give you a quick tease, and then we'll take a break, Nick, because I know you're desperate to take one. The entire internet slam dunked Don Jr. over the weekend with his run-in with LeBron James. We'll get into that. The Cowboys-Raiders game was the most watched game in the NFL in the last 30 years. I'm not counting Super Bowl, but like regular season game, which was interesting. And Jacques Cousteau.
Saw that.
Unbelievable documentary.
What?
Becoming Cousteau.
Where's that at?
It's on National Geographic.
Yeah, it's right there on Disney.
Yeah, so so Disney, yes.
You know, I did see that. I saw that you could get National Geographic on Disney.
Yeah, it's part of the platform. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's coming up tonight on Soy City Buzz. Plus, a congratulations to Kevin on the Decatur Hall of Fame. We haven't talked to him in person since then. What a great honor. We'll be back with more right after this.
You have the ideas, the tenacity, and the follow-through. UC Bank's experts are here to help with the capital. With deep knowledge and trusted guidance, UC will help you prepare a comprehensive financial business plan that boosts your livelihood and keeps your business successful for years to come. UC Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
It's that magical time of year when you think about year-end giving. At the Community Foundation of Macon County, we make it easy to be a philanthropist. Soon, the organizations you care about and have supported in the past will be sending their annual appeals for donations, and you will be deciding how to use your budget for charity before this year is over. This is Missy Batman, Vice President of the Community Foundation of Macon County. At the Community Foundation, we know that philanthropy requires thought and planning. We're here to simplify your gift giving. We have all of the tools to make it easy for everyone to be charitable. We can help you find a nonprofit that shares your vision. We exist to serve you and the community that you love. If you are considering a gift to a charity or want to set up a fund for future giving, call today at 217-429-3000 or visit us online at MaconCountyGives.org. The Community Foundation of Macon County. We're here to connect those who give with those in need for good forever.
Whether you're vaccinated or not, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign of COVID and the flu, so make sure you use an accurate thermometer. Only the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them, and you cannot rely on them. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Learn more at Exergen.com.
You know Bob Brady is Decatur's favorite place to buy a car, but did you know Brady's also Decatur's best place to sell your car?
Brady's buying.
Do you have a car you've been meaning to sell? We get it. You don't want to run an ad, take the calls, put up with endless test drives, haggling, and ultimately, you've got a bunch of paperwork to deal with when you sell it yourself.
Let Brady buy it.
It's easy. All you have to do is bring it in. With most vehicles, we can make an offer your first visit. Bring your title or loan papers and get ready to get paid. We do the paperwork.
Even if you don't buy one of ours, we'll buy yours.
You'll get true NADA book values and top dollar for all types of vehicles. Not running? No problem. We bid non-working vehicles too. Don't let it sit there in your garage or driveway. Get rid of the headache. Ditch the eyesore. Stop draining your bank account with license and insurance payments. Sell it to Bob Brady today.
At both locations.
The Bob Brady Auto Mall just off I-72 at exit 144 in Decatur, or Bob Brady Cadillac Buick GMC at exit 141 in Forsyth.
Rosetta.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Evidently, Nick didn't think we had enough of a conversation, so he's going to give us more of the documentary. What do we got here?
I was just trying to stay on theme. It was Get Back. I didn't realize they left all this in the recording version.
That's a great song.
It is a good song. It's been stuck in my head.
It started out as a protest song. About the way England was treating immigrants, and JoJo was originally going to be a Pakistani. You learn all kinds of things when you're watching 8 hours of... Can you imagine? This was going to be a theatrical release.
That would have been a long theatrical
release. No, but I mean, if it was 3 hours, and maybe they effectively could have done that, cramming 8 hours into three. Hard to imagine, though, after watching it the way it exists now.
Yeah, I found myself watching and saying, do I really need to see this?
Yeah, it's a lot.
But then I'm glad I did, because it did put everything in the kind of context.
And there's at one point when you watch Paul sort of coming up with Get Back for the first time, like those words come out of his mouth. And George Harrison is like yawning and Ringo looks like he's smoked 8 joints.
But then they got into it.
Well, I know, but there's the moment where it's being birthed. And across the room could care less, right?
Right.
I mean, those kind of creative tensions or in this case, lack of any tension that exist.
But the funny thing about that is George, all of a sudden, after he's yawning for 10 minutes, he's always like, hey, this sounds pretty good. I think I'm going to start strumming to this. And then Ringo start playing the drums. And the three of them put a lot of that song together before John even got there.
Okay. I started it again, and I apologize. I gotta Nick do some McCartney. I gotta do some McCartney like control over this show right now.
Okay.
Well, he was.
We need a schedule. We need a schedule.
McCartney was vindicated in this telecast.
Somewhat. I agree with you. Somebody's got to be the grown up. When you're trying to lasso a bunch of kittens into doing something, and everyone's heading in their own direction. And that is the big deal, that their manager had died, and one of the things that. He was only 32. Why did they all look so old then? I mean,
because Paul's wearing old people clothes and has his beard and just is sticking the mud.
Did you notice that though?
Yeah.
I mean, like John Lennon, they all look so old. They looked young for them the way we think of them today, but at the time, they looked old. Those people on the street during that concert section, they looked like they could have been dressed in the 40s.
Yeah. Nick, back then, those were young people clothes. We just kept wearing them.
Okay.
Now they're old people
holding
clothes.
On to it?
Yeah.
Hey, I have an unrelated question about the Beatles.
Brown shoes with a black suit? Never.
Did they effectively stop playing their bubblegum pop days, like at concerts and stuff? Or could you still catch some of that?
I don't know what you mean.
I don't think it was ever bubblegum. I mean, you're talking about the old Beatles stuff.
Yeah.
Twist and Shout and things like
that. Yeah.
That was Elvis Presley type rock and roll.
I know. I'm asking, did they leave it in the past as they moved? That's what I thought.
Well, they quit performing live in 66. So the year I was born, 55 years ago, they quit performing live. This, and then 3 years later, in January of 69, when they did this rooftop concert, that was the last time they performed live together. And there was a three-year gap. They had a tour of America that kind of broke them down. And then they went into the studios and started tinkering, and they weren't even all there when they were recording and doing various parts. I mean, they sort of got down that wormhole of the technology of the time and the studio and away from the live performance thing. And that's what this whole process was going to try to bring them back to that.
But they're always so far ahead of their time that your comment about Bubblegum was their first rock and roll as a band time. Then they evolved into the psychedelic and all the special effects Beatles. They matured. And then, ironically, with Let It Be, they wanted to try to get their mojo back as being a rock and roll band again.
Okay. I'm going to stop you there because you just can't help yourself.
I could go on for your whole show.
Yeah. Well, it went on for 8 hours and now 9 hours of the Beatles.
Can you imagine if Tim Kaine was here?
No, I can't.
Man.
I should put a bullet in my head. I love every bit of it, but,
you like
but
them now.
It's too much.
I think you like them more than the Rolling Stones now.
Okay, see, you're just going to keep pushing. Well, I think I'll be leaving the band now, is what George said when he stood up and walked out. I know the feeling.
But he didn't even get mad. He just said,
yeah, he got mad.
I'm leaving.
He just wasn't capable of expressing that.
I thought he was pretty diplomatic in the way he did it. I liked it.
Okay. Do you want a preview tonight's show?
Oh, yeah. We have a good show tonight. We're kind of moving into, you know, Christmas season and all.
Yes, we're almost to December. You were bringing Christmas gifts in today.
Yes, so we're going to start talking about what the Black Chamber
is. What is this, by the way?
Oh, that you're going to love that. I want to get your expression on it because I don't know if you're going to figure it out without me telling you what it is. It looks like a ball. It's a white plastic ball, and you've already figured out you can open it up. But now what do you do with it?
I have no idea.
See the hole on the top?
Yes.
You fill that up with water, and you have yourself a whiskey or scotch ice cube.
It's an ice cube maker.
Yeah, it's a big ball. It's a big one, too. So you put that in your glass, and you sip on your whiskey with that cube in it. Is
so
that cool?
With two boxes, I have two big balls.
One for Lindsay.
Yes.
Well, you're not going to drink alone, are you?
Of course not.
So that's why I gave you two. Nick, if you want two, I don't know if Jen drinks whiskey.
We don't drink whiskey, but we will use this.
With what? Your Kool-Aid? I mean,
something like that, yeah.
All right, so anyway, tonight we're going to be talking what the Black Chamber is going to do for Christmas and giving out gifts, how people can help. You had our friend Jeff Mueller on from the Oasis Day Shelter. He's coming on tonight to talk about, as he did with you, how you can help the Oasis. This is the time of year where they can really use some generosity. And then Terry Hamill and George Strackfist, Ryan Spurlock, going to talk about Downtown Christmas. It all begins this week.
You know, actually, it started on Saturday. I went down to see the recently renovated inside of the transfer house.
Isn't that nice?
Have you been in there?
I had to go early because I couldn't be there Saturday. And what a place for Santa.
Wow.
It's gorgeous.
I got this letter from somebody in Missouri. Remember, Nick, incensed about the fact that they were moving Santa into the transfer house and not doing the little house they had for years last year because of COVID. And Saturday morning, and are you desperate to get out of here or can you stick around with the mayor a little bit? Because I want to talk about this. It's just gorgeous. There are pictures up on our Facebook page. If you want to check it out, but they had all kinds of unions, the plumbers and steam fitters, the IBEW, the painters, the carpenters, the OPCM. What is that? The operators? What is that OPCM?
Oh, yeah, the operators.
Yeah.
They run heavy equipment, cranes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Jones and Sullivan and Top Quality Roofing and King Lahr and Smart. There's a whole list of people who were responsible for doing that. Nick, I was blown away. You know, they redid the outside of the transfer house a number of years ago to replace the roof and everything, but inside was just, it was a shamble. I mean, the roof was coming, but they replaced the beams. They put a bathroom in. Shaney Goss did an artistic rendering, like an entire wall in there. They got a whole thing for Santa, trees and lights. It's fantastic.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, Shaney did a terrific job, Nick. You'd love that.
And the Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, Terry, you know, headed up the efforts, but I know they had a large gift from the Community Foundation of Macon County. And like I said, all of these people, the Decatur Building and Construction Trades Council, Carpet Weavers, Burdick Plumbing and Heating, Connor Company, Smart, ton of people who put all that together. And it is incredibly impressive. We'll tell you about that. We've got a lot to get to here today. And last week, man, you know, you go to bed like Thanksgiving night, and you wake up and like COVID, like just sucker punched everyone.
Not to mention the variants coming from South Africa.
No kidding. We'll get into that and so much more, plus a another preview of tonight's Soy City Buzz on First Mid Mondays, which you can hear live or podcast at nowdecatur.com. We're going to take a break for top of the hour news. We'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to Byers & Company. Don't go anywhere.
We're everywhere you are. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. If your family is headed out this week to pick out a Christmas tree, you might want to consider a few of these tips. One thing people often forget to do is measure the space where they want to put the tree, and it ends up being too big. Bringing a tape measure when you head out to the tree lot or farm to make sure it will fit is recommended. As far as the type of tree, well, that's a personal choice. You need to keep that water filled at all times. No special additives like sugar or aspirin are needed. Secretary of State Jesse White will have people out looking for shoppers illegally parked in spaces reserved for people with disabilities. Parkers misusing a placard face up to a $1,000 fine and a year suspended driver's license. Using a deceased person's placard or a counterfeit one could bring a $2,500 fine and a 12-month suspension. A reformulated vaccine against the Omicron coronavirus variant could become available early next year, said Moderna's chief medical officer. Currently, it is unclear if COVID vaccines can provide protection against this variant. The World Health Organization has classified Omicron as a variant of concern. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to now.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.